Mis amados hermanos y amigos presentes, muchas gracias, misionero Miguel.
Good morning, my beloved friends and brethren present. Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. May God bless you greatly and continue to use you greatly in the work of God at this end time, in favor of the entire ministerial body and the entire mystical body of believers of His Church Bride of the Age of the Cornerstone and Dispensation of the Kingdom. To everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries, and to everyone present from different places of Venezuela and other countries that are with us on this occasion. May God bless you and may He open our understanding and the scripture to us today to understand His word. And may we leave this place filled with God's blessing. Congratulations again for Mother's Day. May God bless you all greatly. In Reverend William Branham's website, Voice of God Recording, that is, Recordings of the Word of God, there is an article where it says that Venezuela was the first country in Latin America that accepted the message of Malachi 4:5. In other words, notice, Venezuela was, that article says there that, you may search it in that page, which was the first country in Latin America to receive the message of the forerunner. Now, notice in the message of Balm of Gilead, the Reverend William Branham says, this is such a grand privilege to assemble in service of God. And you know, about time we get all the funny feelings drove away, then it's about time to leave, you see. When we come in and just constantly in saying, how do you do? And the ministry is all new, and I'm new, and first thing you know, it takes a little while to get us all kind of acquainted with one another. Let the Holy Spirit move among us to see that we're brothers and sisters, you see? That there's nothing wrong with us, and we're just God's children. And the ministry that God gave me, why, it's for you, and it's love, expressions of love. And then we say, bye-bye, and take off up to somewhere else. And I can't think of that name of that place. I call it, Billy said, where you think we're going, Daddy? I said, Venezuela. That would be a long ways away, wouldn't it? But however, we've been to Venezuela, been over. We never had services there. But we're expecting the Lord willing, in other words, to come. Now, today, under my new ministry, I am here in Venezuela. This day, the scripture is fulfilled. Elijah in Venezuela. Let us search in our Bibles, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 and on, where he tells us, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he writes, 40 days and the Star of David. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he drew a Star of David there. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, then he writes, east, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And there he writes, west. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And he writes there, 24th day of the second month. The power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church. You may please be seated. This message of this subject, Dr. William Soto Santiago preached it on March 22nd of 2009 in Boavista, Minatitlan, Mexico. In the message, the crowning age, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, which was preached on August 3rd, 1978 in Fusagasugá, Colombia. God bless this people. He tells us, now remember that he reigns by the word, and so he reigns by his word, and all those who belong to his kingdom then follow that word. They live according to that word, according to the laws of God, because God will put his word on human lips so that the kingdom of God then walks in perfection, lives as it must live. In the book of the seals, on page 286, the Reverend William Branham tells us, and I think any born-again Christian is kind of an oddball to the world, because you've been changed. You're from another world. Your spirit is from across the chasm. And this thing here is such a messed up thing. You're not different. There is something wrong. You're still too eastbound. You ought to be heavenly minded. And heaven lives by the word. Now, we notice that this great thing taking place. Now, we believe that there is to be a coming of the true spirit of Elisha. It's predicted it would be, see? And we must remember it'll be here in its own season and time. We may be laying a foundation for it now, and it won't be no organization. I disagree with a good friend of mine on that. He says it'll be a group of people. I want you to show me that by the scripture. On the right there he writes, Elijah, colon, it won't be an organization. in the book of quotations, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 129 of this book of excerpts of messages preached by the Reverend William Branham. He says on page 129, paragraph 1149, from the seventh angel, message of the seventh seal, message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. Above he writes, the seventh seal equals is Revelation 10. To the seven trumpets between those two times. O God, how can we say this to make the people see it? It's between that sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet, the sixth trumpet and the sixth seal sound at the same time. And between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles, to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appears to the Jews to send them to Jesus, while the church is being taken up. And there he draws a small cornerstone on the left. All of them prophets. Amen. In other words, being taken up to where? To the age of the cornerstone. All of them prophets. Amen. The word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be a denomination. And there he writes, Moses and Elijah. Do you see it? Read in your book here and see if that between the sixth and seventh trumpet isn't injected in there. Let the Jews being called out. And there on the left, he draws a Star of David next to it won't be a denomination, which is what he is telling us over here in the Book of the Seals on page 287. Let us continue the passage there. He says, God, the unchangeable God, never does change his plans. If he does, then he isn't God. There he writes, God is unchangeable. He wrote it to the left upward. That's right, because he is mortal. And he knows just like I do, and he makes mistakes. God has never changed his plan since the very time in the Garden of Eden. He made a plan for redemption that was the blood. And we've tried education, we've tried dictatorship, we've tried psychology, we tried denominationalism, we tried everything to push everybody together or love everybody together and everything else. There is no place of fellowship but under the blood, yet the only ground that God meets man. God always deals with one individual. Two men has got two ideas. There never was two major prophets on the earth prophesying the same time. Look back and see if there was. No, sir. Too much scrupled up. He's got to get one man completely surrendered and use that person. There to the left, upward, he writes, God works with one man alone. And notice in the book of quotations, on page 91, on paragraph 791, tells us, which is this portion that we're reading, to see what he wrote there. Half through the paragraph, God, the unchangeable God, never does change his plans. God always deals with one individual. Two men has got two ideas. There never was two major prophets on the earth prophesying the same time. Look back and see if there was. No, sir. Too much scrupled up. He's got to get one man completely surrendered and use that person. He searches for that person, but there will be one sometime, somebody who will listen to him word by word. And there to the right, he draws Star of David. And at the bottom, he writes, never two major prophets at the same time. And on top, he writes, dispensational ones. And upward, on the left, upward, he writes, the angel of Jesus. Now, he continues saying, here where we paused, on page 287, he searches for that person. But there will be one, sometime, somebody who will listen to him word by word. I don't care what anybody else says, they'll never move from it. That's right. They'll wait on thus saith the Lord, and then they won't move until then. He'll be properly vindicated. Now, the outside world will hate it. But the elected seed, the predestinated seed, like there was in the days of Jesus, when that light flashes, that seed will come to life like that. They'll know it. There to the left, he writes, the light. They'll understand it. You won't have to say a word about it. She says, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. I know when the Messiah comes, he's supposed to. He said, I am he. Boy, that was enough. She didn't have to tarry all night and tarry the next night. She had it right then. In other words, the whole fulfillment was in Jesus. She was on her road. She was telling them about it. Now, Dr. William Soto Santiago continues to say here in the message, The Crowning Age. Now, notice that we will then be in the kingdom, and he will be as king. But we will be there, not in the literal sense, but rather in the spiritual sense. Because in the literal sense, it will be in the millennium. And in the millennium, well, things are then literally. But at this time, it's in the spiritual sense, which is greater than in the literal sense. Remember that the spiritual is always greater than the literal, and that we find that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Well, and where will the millennial kingdom emerge from and be made of? Of the kingdom that is unseen, which will be established in each one of the elect, in the heart of each elect. And there, he will then be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the group of the elect, in the elect as a group, in that age, he will be as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his word will be heard, brought forth, and practiced by those who belong to the age of the kingdom. And the message that he will bring us in the age of the kingdom will be the message of the kingdom. And as the message of the kingdom, then it won't be the one of the first dispensation or of the second dispensation, but rather the one of the dispensation of the kingdom, which is the third dispensation. And then in this message, in the gospel of the kingdom, we'll have everything that the people of God needs. What for? To receive everything that God has promised to the people of God. Look in the message, blasphemous names. The Reverend William Branham tells us on page 15, now, here is interpretation of her dream. She was bothered about the Holy Spirit. Now, in so much that she, seeing the box on top of the mountain, was the rock. Rock box is rock confession. And there to the left he writes, rock of confession. Now, like Jesus said in the scripture, he said, Peter said, who? Jesus said, who does men say I, the Son of Man, am? One said, thou art Elias, and Moses, and so forth. And he said, but who do you say I am? He said, in other words, Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, some people say now, the Catholic Church says, the Roman Catholic Church says, that he is what the rock was that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They said it was upon Peter. And Peter was that rock. because Peter means little stone. Upon this little stone I'll build my church. And upon Peter, they, apostolic succession, they build the church. Then the Protestant church says, that's wrong, that it was upon himself he built the church. Now, not to be disagreeable, but I, to my way of seeing it, it's both wrong, because he never built it upon Peter, neither did he build it upon himself, but it's upon Peter's revelation of who he was. And that was the beginning of the dispensation of grace. And in the dispensation of the kingdom, the foundation is upon the basis of the revelation of who the Son of Man is in his second coming. See? Who does man say, I, the Son of Man? And he writes there to the left, upward, upon this rock, equals the revelation of who Jesus is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Some seminary, see? But my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. Thou art Peter, upon this rock of confession, upon this revelation, I'll build my church. And that's been, each church age has had that rock of confession. On up to this rock of confession of Laodicea. And now, you cannot make a holy church. There is no such a thing as a holy church or holy organization. The Holy Spirit can be preached in it, but in there you find good and bad, renegades, indifferent, and everything else. So an organization will not hold. Now notice, on the right part upward in two sentences, he writes, every age has been built upon a rock, revelation of confession. Every age has been built upon a rock, revelation of confession. Revelation he has in between parentheses. Upon a rock, revelation of confession. You can't say, we got it. None of the rest of them has it. No, sir. The Holy Spirit is poured out on individuals. It's the individual. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, a bit further on the same message, the crowning age. Now, you can see that the great privilege is given to the group who lives in the second coming of the Lord, who lives in the stage of the mind of Christ, which is Christ himself fulfilling his second coming and bringing us the message of the gospel of the kingdom, which is also the message of the year of Jubilee, in which deliverance is proclaimed for the people of God and judgment for the world. So he has to present himself as the judge, as the lion of the tribe of Judah. By us seeing all these things at this time, knowing then that this is the time of crowning, in other words, it is the time when the age in which we live is the crowning age, therefore, she's already crowned with what? With the message of the thunders. She is crowned with the second coming of the Lord. She is crowned with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness. Do you know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is in all of its fullness for the group of this time as a group? Do you know which one it is? As individuals, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness. As individuals, for the person as an individual, is the fullness of the Spirit of God in the person. Now notice in the message token, we have already seen that it is for the crowning age, the age where the thunders, with the message of the thunders, she is crowned. Now, notice in the message token, on page 20, the Reverend William Branham tells us, it's God's requirement of the hour. The evening time message is to apply the token. Satan has thrown all kinds of counterfeits, of shaking hands, and evidences, and everything like that. Forget it. The hour has arrived that the token itself, not some counterfeit, make-believe, substitutionary, anything. The hour is here when the token himself is identifying himself right among us and proving that he is the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And he is right with the word. It's got to be applied. A man that says he's got the token, deny this word, then what about it? See, you can't do it. The token has got to be there. When I, three dots, the blood shall be a token unto you. And there he draws a cornerstone to the left. The blood shall be a token unto you. Now the Holy Spirit, the life that was in the blood, is a token unto you. Get to it in a moment, see? The Holy Ghost is the token. The case is closed, yes sir. And he writes, the Spirit incarnate. He wrote it to the left, upward. Now, he goes on to say here as well in this message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed on page 50. The Reverend William Branham tells us, now, he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in this last day be revealed. And he writes, revealed today. Now see, he could go back and pick up what these other fellows has left off here in the last days, and by his Holy Spirit, reveal all the mystery of the seven seals. See, he is expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ. And he writes, one. Then, two, express himself through the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word. And he writes, three. And the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept a hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It is grounded. Then it causes a short and blows a fuse, see? But when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. How is the Word expressed? Through His children. The works that I do shall ye be also. And in the last days it shall come to pass. Behold, I send to you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church, have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people, oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down, and Adam. What did Adam and Eve turn down? He says, coming back with the anointing of the Word. Because he said, my Word is Spirit. See, anointed with the Word. What Eve turned down, he comes back. And he writes the title deed. In other words, that he in his coming, he had to come with the title deed. And we accept. There he writes on the left, God incarnate. And he writes on the right upward, the anointed ones with the Word. And we accept. See? How that hybrid condition again, just exactly what he done Eve. He told Eve, don't you do this and don't you do that. And you can do this and that. And there at the bottom he writes, today the bride accepts what Adam and Eve turned down. Which was the word, the title deed. Now, our brother William continues to say here in this message, the crowning age, he says, but as a group, the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the group, as an age, do you know what it is? The coming of the Holy Spirit in human flesh. That is the baptism, that is the crown for that age. Now notice on this writing, from a Bible study in 2003, Dr. William Sotir left us this writing there. In 2004, he left us this writing in 2004 below the scripture of Matthew 25, verse 1. And there he left us this writing, the Holy Spirit is the oil for the person. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings forth the new birth in the kingdom of Christ, of God, in His church. I'll reread that sentence again. The Holy Spirit, the oil for the person, it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings forth the new birth into the kingdom of Christ, of God, in His church. Another sentence. The Holy Spirit, the oil for the church bride, is the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man, redeemed by the blood of Christ in the midst of His church. In other words, a member of the mystical body of believers, a redeemed one. Let me read it again. The Holy Spirit, the oil for the church bride, is the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man, redeemed by the blood of Christ in the midst of His church. And that is the Holy Spirit in the group as an age. And another sentence. In the apostles and in the seventh angels, it was in a portion, and in His angel will be in all His fullness. And that is the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man. I'll read it again. In the apostles and in the seventh angels, it was in a portion, and in His angel it will be in all of its fullness. And that is the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man. Now, our brother William continues to say there, we know that there is only one Holy Spirit. And do you want to see what the fourth Elijah tells us? He says, but there is only one genuine Spirit of Christ. And that is the Word made flesh as He promised to do so. And in this study of 2003, there is where he writes, just as every person must be born again, the church must also be born again. She must receive the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man. And it cannot be, and it couldn't be, during the dispensation of grace. It had to be under the dispensation of the kingdom. Just as every person must be born again, the church must also be born again. She must receive the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man. And she will be the young bride passing by again, as William Marion Branham saw in the age of the cornerstone. Now notice on this message, recognizing your day and its message, he tells us on page 8, where he narrates to us there this vision of the bride. Also in Masterpiece, and it is the rising of the sun. But let us see here first, in recognizing your day and its message, on page 8, it tells us, and remember the vision of last week, and I not thinking about it, just sitting there watching outside. and there come the bride. I heard a voice by the side of me said, here is a preview of the bride. And there on the left, he writes, the second bride. And she came by. Below he writes, the bride that was born on the day of Pentecost was a Jewish bride. And she came by. I noticed her, the way she was, very lovely, pretty, young. She was walking just a step as she could, not a march, just in the stride of a woman. How they walk gracefully, ladylike. That's the way she was walking, coming to my left on this side. And there he writes, the bride equals left. And she went out of my sight. Then he turned me to the right side, and he showed me each church as they've come up out of the ages. And oh, how vulgar. And the last one was the last day church age. And above that he writes Pentecostals, Laodicea. And on the left, upward, he writes Laodicea, right. Which was led by a witch. And he writes Revelation 13. A witch leads Laodicea. And they were so immorally dressed, so filthy looking. And they were marching to the time of twist and rock and roll. And those women throwing themselves just in twists, withholding just paper, gray, hypocritical. The gray is between a white and a black, which is a deceiving color. Gray is neither white nor black, is a deceiving color, and gray-looking paper holding in front of them with lace like hula skirts holding in front of them, and completely nude from their waist up, and said, that is the church. And when it passed by, my heart like to fainted. I thought, if that's what is trying to be presented to Christ as a bride, of all the efforts and things that man has put forth to try to bring forth a bride for Christ, and a vulgar, dirty, filthy-looking prostitute like that to be the bride of Christ? Now notice, in this message, the second coming of the Lord, there he tells us, the church better be examining themselves by the word of God. Our purity, our loyalty, our devotion. We've become tattlers, tail-bearers, cigarette smokers, back-beaters, painted up Jezebels, everything in the calendar that the rest of the world does. The Christian church is associating in those things today till you can't hardly tell the one from the other. It's time we took inventory. Is getting late. Remember Joshua reviewing, making the roll call before going into the promised land. Now he goes on to say, in recognizing your day and its message, it made me sick at my heart. And as she passed, after she, coming before where she was standing, she was holding the paper in front of her, twisting and rocking and moving herself one side and then the other side. As she went, like the modern dances they have of this day, using herself as an immoral act as she was marching on. I'm not responsible for these things, I can only say what I seen. And God is my judge, but that was the church from USA. Now, as she passed by, the whole back part had no covering at all. And then as she passed by, I felt faint and sickly. Then he said, the bride will come into preview again. And here the bride come behind her, the very same looking bride that passed at the beginning. Now, at the top. In the margin at the top, he writes, the vision of the bride, the first bride, the one of the day of Pentecost. After that, he writes, the churches, the ages. And then he writes, the second bride, the one of the year of Pentecost. Then my heart jumped for joy to know that there will be a bride. And she will be made of the same thing, and clothed in the same thing that the one was at the beginning. She is to be called. And I know that is the truth. If that isn't true, then every vision that I've had in the back has been wrong. And anyone knows that not one thing has ever told us but what was the truth. It come to pass, just. And can you see then the filthiness of the modern church calling herself a church? There he writes, to the left, upward, the bride passes twice. The first time, the one of the day of Pentecost. The second time, the one of the year of Pentecost. What he wrote at the top, he wrote again there. And also in this message, Masterpiece, he also speaks to us here on page 33. And he narrates a bit more information. Look, he says, but when this bride, she was looking right at the one was talking to me and I standing together. Her eyes, she was the cleanest, sweetest looking people I ever seen in my life. There she was clean. There is a place where he talks about the bride washing her face. I think it's in the book of quotations where he says, the bride will wash her face, or will. If you find it there. I think I had it written down in one of the messages. But let us continue there. If we find it, well, let's see if it's paragraph 306. God can take a man and adopt him into the family and give him something. That is on page 37 on the book of quotations. First, try that and see if it's right. The Bible said, try the Spirit. This man claims a certain thing. Try it and see if it's right. If it is as right, move right with it. Then say, Lord, send us something else. Keep moving, see? Just keep moving till every fellow takes his place. There to the left, he writes Moses and Elijah. Moving right with it, there on the side, he writes Moses and Elijah. Then is when the Philistines will go to backing up. The shorts will go off. Hair will grow down. Faces will be washed. Cigars will be missing. That's right. When the church begins to get into its mighty power, when we have an Ananias and Sapphira and a few of them, yes, sir, you'll see when that holy church stands together in his power, positionally placed as sons of God, adopted into the family of God, powerful church standing there in its glory. Oh, that's what he is coming for. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left side. And above he writes, in the adoption, Ananias and Sapphira. And also on page, let us turn to 12a. Page 12a. Purge 12a. Look here, there is where he writes, paragraph 116, after he found the character, then Gether stand still long enough to listen to his message of Isaac. That's the messenger of the last days, the evening light, is first find that church. Where will they believe the message? Hunted. Can you read what I'm talking about? Hunt where that church is that'll even let you come in, that won't close the doors in your face. And then when you do there, then you've found character. I was glad when Venezuela opened its doors to me. And I found, and I have found a church that has received me. During my jubilee, and then when you do there, then you've found character. Now, if she will stand still long enough to tell her how that bride's got to be dressed, she's got to be clothed. Stand still. If she could get, look, at the little Rebecca listening to every word, her little heart was beating. He was telling her, now you've sweated it out. Where will I go until I find the character? Then when I find the character, then make her stand still long enough to get her ready to go to meet him. Oh my, what a striking thing. Wish we had a little more time on that clock. Get her ready. Stand still to listen to his message of him. And he drew a Star of David to the left. Eliezer wasn't speaking of himself, but he was speaking of the one he was sent from. And he had the gifts to prove that he was sent from him. Amen. He wanted to clothe her with these things. You know how he fixed her up. If I could just get her to wash her face. And Brother William writes there at the bottom, the bride equals must wash her face. The bride must wash her face. Now notice. He goes on to say, here in the message, the masterpiece, and she passed by, sweetly with a air, and her eyes up, watching, as she passed by. Oh, she was beautiful. I looked at her, and as she passed by, he said, now we shall review, said, that's the bride. Now, we will review the churches. And they come. In other words, he is going to review the churches. I noticed them coming up. And when they come up, each one looked like God worse. I never seen such a filthy bunch in my life. And when he said, next, I heard a noise. And it said, next, said, here comes the American group. And he writes, Laodicea. And he writes there, Laodicea, the American group. And he also writes, that age then became organized. Now, I am an American, but this made me sick. I am not eloquent enough to, in a mixed audience, to say what was taking place. And you'll have to read between the lines. Now he's going to say something. But when the women were coming, the leader of them was a witch. She had a great long nose and a great big mouth. And all of them was dressed with some kind of lower clothes down here. but the top just had a strap, that just little, about half an inch strap that moved up and went around them like this. That is something narrow there. And each woman had something on an order. Many of you years ago used to remember when we used to cut that paper, you know, newspaper, and make an old fly bush, and he writes like Hawaiian women. How many remember it? You know, why, I think they used it in carnivals, you know, hanging down like that, hanging down there. Fringed paper, lace paper. They had something holding below them, like this, holding below them. All this part was exposed, and each one had hair cut up real short, and frizzy-looking things all over it like that, real short cut hair and full of makeup, absolutely nothing but looking like street prostitutes. And they were walking with this paper, and the vulgarity. Here he writes, on the left, upward, four sentences, four rows. Short hair equals, they were not under the authority of Christ as the head. The World Council, a witch, World Council of Churches, was their head, their leader. Short hair equals, they were not under the authority of Christ as the head. The World Council, a witch, World Council of Churches, was their head, their leader. Now, the paper was what was holding in front of them, but when they passed the review stand in the back of them, and to see the way they were going on in their foremost and their back part and how they were acting, I said, is that the church? And he writes, the church, he wrote it to the right, and there she went. And they were singing this here twist and roll songs, you know, or ever what you call going down, singing that and going by. I said, is that the church? And I was standing there. And in my heart, I was crying. And this witch, to my notion, it's nothing else in the world, but she's that World Council of Churches, leading them right straight down the road where she was going. They went off to the left and disappeared in chaos, still beating this music and making real funny sounds and shaking their bodies, one side and then the other side, and then like that, carrying on like that, walking. And there he writes, the left. In other words, on the left part, he writes, the left. He wrote it upward. And I just started to bow my head, and he said, wait, the bride must come again. And I looked, and here they come again. And in the part of the paragraph at the top, he draws just the part of the ages at the bottom, on the left. And now where it says, the bride must come again, there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And the ages down there. And I looked, and here they come again. And they passed by, a sweet-looking little ladies, they was all looking right at me as they passed by. And there on the right, he writes upward, the bride comes when the ages end. They was all looking right at me as they passed by. And I noticed each one was dressed different. And one in the back had kind of long hair hanging down and had it rolled around like this. Might have been German or something like that. In other words, she had that type of curly hair. Sometimes those who have curly hairs wish it was straight, and those who have it straight, they wish they had it curly. You have it in the way in which God has given it to you. Sometimes they start to use products to change their hairstyle. And what they actually do is damaging their hair. So the best thing is to leave it. Like the hair that God gave you. If it's curly, well, curly. And even if it's a bit big, because it looks very wild, as we would say, today I woke up with my hair all wild. That, well, a bit of you've done it. But there you try to fix it up and try to maintain it. Because notice, it is a blessing for those who can grow out their hair. And there are times when those whose hair grows long wants to cut it. And those who have it thin, because it's their condition, are wishing and praying God to let them have long hair. Sometimes they struggle. But don't worry, because in the new body, you will have that full head of hair, the way God already has it in His program for you. And there, that desire to have that long hair will be fulfilled then. But we desire that from now. May God give us abundance of hair. Straighten our hair. So that in this way, especially the women, can have it strong and healthy. Be grateful for what God has given you. Look, even your hair. He even mentions it. Not one hair shall perish. We will have all the hairs that have fallen off. And look, my hairline keeps moving further back. But that's it. And the proof of the new body is that, whoop, all those areas will have hair again. And where you have bald spots. But we continue moving forward. Taking vitamins always to straighten our system and eating healthy. Now he goes on to say, and I watched them. And then, as they started living, and there to the right he draws a cornerstone and the edges and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And then as they started living, and he circles living and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Two or three of them in the back kind of get out of step as they were going up to the edge of the cornerstone. And I was going to holler at them and they was trying to get back in step again. There to the left, he writes, two or three out of step on the right. There in between, he had written before, perhaps German women, Spanish women, German Europe, when he spoke about curly hair. Now here is the interpretation thereof, the reason. Now remember, I had just got through writing. I hadn't finished. I hadn't wrote these notes yet. But in preaching this morning, I caught what it was right in my sermon. Did you notice? The church only comes in view. Now that's the truth, friend. The Heavenly Father who writes the word knows that I tell the truth, see? I know I just say the truth. And not knowing it till just a few minutes ago looked like, or just recently, see? Did you notice? The bride come in view twice. The first seed and the second seed. Both of them exactly the same one. And the reason they were dressed in different parts, she'll come from all nations. You'll make up the bride. And there he writes to the left, the bride twice. Before the ages and after the ages. That is after the ages. Before the ages and after the ages. He also writes there, each one represents a nation. Each one represents a nation. Now notice in the book of quotations, he tells us it will be from international. Page 139 of the book of quotations, paragraph 1242. There he tells us, across the world, they, the bride, won't be gathered in one place to have things in common. But little groups of them will be scattered all over the earth. I believe maybe, if the Lord permits, this is a little group of it. Maybe another little group in Asia, one down in Germany, one down somewhere else. When I seen a vision of the bride the other night, they was made up from the international, see? So the bride won't be gathered from one place. You'll be gathered from all over the world. Now, remember when he told us, have big places for that time and that moment of the third pool, where everything that corresponded to that time would be carried out. And he said, perhaps we will be taking some trips to some places, and for them to be big places, so that all those small places where they gather can have one place to gather together. Now notice how in every place where there are places that can be used like that, activities are being held where the bride is gathered together to prepare and listen to that teaching under the tent. Now, he writes there, the bride equals from the international. He wrote it at the bottom. In other words, when we are having activities like this, we are gathering the bride together in one place. And those who haven't been able to come due to some situation are tuned in and are watching from their place. Now, he goes on to say here in the masterpiece, each one had long hair and no makeup, and real pretty girls, and they were watching me. That represented the bride coming out of all nations, see? Each one represented a nation, and they marched perfectly in line with the word, see? And then, I have to watch her. She'll get out of step with that word. And there he draws a cornerstone and the edges and an arrow towards the cornerstone to the left. If I don't watch when she is passing by, if she gets by, maybe it'll be my time when I'm over. See? And he is resting in the sixth dimension as she is going into the age of the cornerstone. But one of the two olive trees, one of the ministries that the Son of Man is operating at this end time, would be watching her and would be guiding her and would be calling her attention so that she doesn't fall out of step when I'm finished or whatever it is. What? They was getting back, trying their best, and was getting back. Now there on the right, upward, we must walk in the center of the word, the moment promised, vindicated, fulfilled for the age of the grain, the age of the cornerstone. He draws a little cornerstone there at the beginning of that sentence. We must walk in the center of the word for the message promised, vindicated, fulfilled for the age of the grain, the age of the cornerstone. What? That was getting back, trying their best, and was getting back. Just get in line. Because they was looking out somewhere else, watching about that church that just went out into chaos. And he writes, Laodicea. But two? In other words, they were looking downward towards Laodicea. But two, the front one, never. But back ones, just two or three of them, was kind of stepped out a little bit to the right-hand side. And looked like was trying to get back in line. And he writes, going back. get back in line as they went by. And there on the left he writes, upward, the vision of the bride, perhaps when he is on the other side. See? Right-hand side, he also wrote that there. They was just past me, oh, far as here to the wall, past me. And I was standing there, and then I just seen it all move out and leave. And he writes, going back to get in order with the word in the eighth step. Going back to get in order with the word in the eighth step. But you notice the church only come into view once. Each nation, the church. But the bride comes in twice. The bride comes in twice. See? See what it was? Now, not knowing it, but look at it with the message this morning. Not knowing that, see? The seed fell in the ground at Nicaea. That was the original seed. And she's come through the process of these denominations, which only come in existence once. But the bride returns back again in the last days. I will restore, see? The masterpiece is brought up. Let us turn here for a moment. Look in this message. The restoration of the bride tree. The Reverend William Branham tells us there, the fourth light is to come. And he writes, Elijah and Moses. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same signs. Watch, justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostals. Leaves clap their hands, joy rejoicing, Pentecostal. There he writes, leaves clap. That is of Pentecostals. What? The fourth was the word itself, the word made flesh. And he writes there, Elijah and Moses. Fruit of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ has finally, after justification being planted, sanctification being planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out. And Christ, and he writes Elijah and Moses, and Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes on the right upward, Christ at the top of the mountain. It is the fourth light, Elijah and Moses. First line, justification. Sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's numbered them 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then he writes 4, the coming of the cap. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that it can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away, that when he comes back, he'll catch the whole thing in the rapture, where the justified, sanctified, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. That pyramid will stand again. The house of God will live again. The tree of life is growing again. And he writes there, the tree of life on the right. And above he wrote, fourth light. Now notice, he continues to say here, that's the reason she was in view, reviewed the second time. A bit before that. See, the masterpiece is brought up. That's the reason she was in view, reviewed the second time. She was reviewed the first time, then she was reviewed the second time. And she was perfectly the second time like she was the first time. Oh God, have mercy. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Life Get in the grain, right quick. There he writes, the bride appeared twice. All other never appear no more. That is, to the left upward, the bride appeared twice. All others never appeared no more. They went out, never to come back again. But the bride came back, because she was Alpha and Omega. God, the great sculptor, had made him a masterpiece, for it is a piece of his first masterpiece, like he made in the Garden of Eden, and took a piece from, and made another piece, and that was merit and fell. Now he's been all this time building it up again. And he brought forth this masterpiece, and was smitten in order. That part that was smitten was in order to bring back again the masterpiece again. And to the left he writes, the building of the bride. The building of the bride. And God is a good master builder. So much so that in his first coming, he sent a construction worker. He could have sent him with a different occupation. But since he is the architect of architects, he is the one who designed the universe and everything. He even designed us as individuals, how we would be. In his first coming, he sent a construction worker. And he liked it so much that he sent one again. In other words, in his second coming, he comes for the building of the bride. Now notice, he goes on to say, so the masterpiece and the Son of God, the masterpiece and the bride. There he writes, the building of the bride. And it's a piece of him, which must be the fulfilling of the word. The word has been fulfilled, and we are ready for the coming of the Lord. And he writes, the coming of the Lord. And there are an arrow towards the cornerstone and the ages. Now, he continues to say here in this other message, it is the rising of the sun on page 15. Notice, he says, and as he, being the groom, the bride has to come forth, because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any other has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. There he writes, the groom and the bride. And he draws a cornerstone and an arrow upward towards the cornerstone. It is in the bride, because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. As man and woman are one, and woman take from his side, she had taken a spirit, the feminine spirit from him. The flesh from his side made both, mechanics and dynamics. The wife, the spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together, and made mechanics and dynamics. Above he writes, the feminine spirit of Christ in the church. And to the right, he writes, the feminine spirit of Jesus in the church. The feminine spirit of Jesus in the church. Unto the church or the people. All these Easter bunnies and ceremonies and big churches and finery will fail and pass away. Until that church becomes both dynamics, and he writes, the Holy Spirit, and mechanics, the Word. Now, for the crowning notice, as an age, we saw that the Word has to be incarnate in the midst of his church. And we can see that the church has the feminine spirit of Jesus. Now notice, until the church or the people, all these Easter bunnies and ceremonies and big churches and finery will fail and pass away, until that church becomes both dynamics and mechanics. There he writes, Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Spirit of God that moved him to do the things that he did. If he hit on 16 cylinders, so will the bride. Amen. For he said in John 14:12, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. I'll give him a charge of my dynamics in his mechanics, that the world will not be able to withstand it, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. And he writes to the left, the dynamics. There's a part in the book of quotations that he speaks about the charge. It should be on the pages with the letters. It must be an odd number because it's on the right side, like at the top. If you find it, about something recharging or a charge. Let us see if it is on 6A. 3A. See, 3A. On this part here, top right, paragraph 16, notice it says, just think, your glorified body is right here at the tabernacle now. The presence of the Holy Spirit, which is your glorified condition. You're glorified in Christ right now. Those who he justified, he glorified. And your own glorified body is standing near you right now in Christ Jesus to give you a strength like a charge going into a battery. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's to charge your body to give you new strength, to heal you from the sickness that you've got, to make you well. And he writes below, the healing of the body. And on the top he writes, glorified body, the theophanic one, to charge the physical body. And by knowing these things, we can say, oh, theophany, charge my body. I want you to give me charge and recharge me. Give me new strength to keep going on. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. I'll give him a charge on my dynamics in his mechanics, that the world will not be able to withstand it, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. And he writes, the dynamics, upward to the left. That's the Easter message, the dynamics and the mechanics together. The mechanics, the word, he wrote that above, without the dynamics, no good. And he writes, Holy Spirit above dynamics. Neither is the dynamic without the mechanics. You can scream and shout and jump up and down all you want to, and deny this word, it won't do any good. You're just cracking around the pistons, or got the spark there to fire, but no gasoline to fire it by. It only works as they come together. There to the left, he writes, the spark plug and gasoline. Amen. So one sits still, and the other one will go up. That's the only thing there is to it. Yet, they both might look alike, but claim to be churches, both claim to be bride. But one has mechanics and dynamics. It brings it to pass. Of what he said is the truth. And he writes, the mechanics and dynamics together brings it to pass. The church that has the mechanics and the dynamics together, that is the church bride. It just won't move, no matter how good the mechanics is, until the dynamics comes. When the dynamic comes, that fire is made to connect with that octane in the gasoline. And when that explodes, it causes a combustion. And that combustion moves every motion, every move, for He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the resurrection. That's the real power of God. Mechanics with the dynamics. Notice, it's the spirit that quickens. It's the spark that fires. It's not the gasoline that fires. It's the spark that fires the gas. See? It's the spark. You can't do nothing without me. But with me, you can do all things. As He is the Word. It's the Father living. Father sent me, so I sent you. Below He writes, as the Father sent me. As the Father has fired me and pushed me into everything, I do only that which is pleasing to God. Now, as He sent me, so sent I you, with the same mechanics, and it takes the same dynamics to operate it. And these signs shall follow them that claim to have the mechanics. The dynamics will take its place. And he writes to the left upward, the dynamics and the mechanics. Paul said, the gospel come to us not in word only, through the gasoline only, but through spark also. To make it move. There you are. He came to us in that manner. It's the same spirit that raised him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. Now remember, potentially, now watch, as we are getting out of our time. Notice, the same spirit. Now, Romans 8:1. Now, let's just read that again in Romans 8:1, and we'll see what that says. All right. And not Romans, I mean 8:11, I'm sorry. In Romans 8:11, but there is the problem. There is his catch. But if the Spirit of Him, God, the Holy Spirit, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. Three dots. Now, there you are. If the bridegroom's Spirit dwells in the bride, when God made His first bridegroom, He made the bridegroom first. And He was both man and woman in spirit. And he writes, Adam and Eve, Adam and the masculine spirit, and Eve and the feminine spirit, form him in the dust of the earth to make him material. And notice, when he made Eve from Adam, he took not another piece of clay. He took from the same piece of clay the same word. For Adam was a spoken word. See? He took from him, and then taken the three dots. He had masculine and feminine spirit. And he took the feminine spirit away from Adam and placed it in Eve. So it's still part of Adam's spirit. It's Adam's flesh. Then it was Adam's spirit, the dynamic, that quickened the mechanics of his body. Did you see? So the bride must also be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Then how is this mortal flesh going to become his flesh? And he writes, glorified. We'll get it in a minute, see? There he writes on the right upward, Adam equals was a spoken word. The spirit of Adam equals the dynamics. How is it done? How? What is this great transformation? Notice. Now, if the spirit of Him, God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwelled in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your immortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Then there at the bottom he writes, Adam had the masculine and feminine spirit. Now in this same message, look on page 30, which is an excerpt from the Book of Quotations, which is on page 146. There he tells us, let us have here the Book of Quotations open as well. Page 146, paragraph 1299. He says, God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both, male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body. And he writes there, and today, his church in his body of human flesh. See, they are one, same word. The same word spoke of the groom, speaks of the bride. And there, he writes in the Book of Quotations, Christ and the bride, and he writes, Second Eve equals the bride, are one, male and female. Christ and the bride equals are one, male and female. Now, in this message, titled The Baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Soul, there Dr. William Soto tells us, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a mystical body of believers, based on this foundation that we already have here, look, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a mystical body of believers, as the spiritual temple of Christ, typified in the tabernacle that Moses made and the one that Solomon made, had this Holy Spirit in the most holy place. That is, she had it in the part that is represented in the spirit of the human being. The outer courts are represented in the body. But the most holy place of the spiritual temple of Christ is represented in the soul of the person. In the message, The Stature of a Perfect Man, the Reverend William Branham tells us, first, you must be born again. And then when you've born again, you have faith. You believe the word. Until you are born again, you'll argue against it. There on the right, he writes, you must be born again. If you're just religiously inclined, and you got a little human knowledge that you should do right, you'll never be able to agree upon the word of God. You never do it. You've got to be born again. Born again, it produces faith. There he writes, the new birth produces faith. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and that is why the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a mystical body of believers at the end of time is required to have the token applied in her soul, which is the most holy place. To have the Holy Spirit manifested in the most holy place. In a writing in the Bible, on one of the pages he writes, Christ, our Paschal Lamb, of which we have been eating during the dispensation of grace. And separate on another sentence, and in the age of the cornerstone, to set free in an eternal body, and to go to the millennial kingdom. Afterwards, his blood has been applied on the lintel of our hearts by receiving his Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, and he drew a cornerstone there in the ages. He continues to say, just as he was manifested in the holy place in each angel messenger, manifested in the most holy place in the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the soul of the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, in the most holy place of the spiritual temple. In the message, God is His own interpreter, tells us on page 7, the Reverend William Branham says, Philip, at that time, went and found Nathanael under a tree and brought him back to Jesus. Jesus said, Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. John 1:47. He said, Rabbi, where did you ever know me? He said, Before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. He said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. And there he writes, the Holy Spirit incarnate in a prophet. You're the King of Israel. He knew that was what? It didn't need any interpretation. Jehovah said that. There stood those there who didn't believe it. They said, This man is Beelzebub. One said, You are the Son of God. And others said, No, that's Beelzebub. He's got some kind of a trick he's pulling. He's a fortune teller or something. Jesus looked at them and said, Why, you speak that against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But when the Holy Ghost is come to do the same thing, and there above he writes, in a prophet, in William Marion Branham, and Revelation 11. But when the Holy Ghost is come to do the same thing, speak against that, it'll never be forgiven you, in this world or the world to come. Matthew 12:27-32. He was prophesying of our day, the day that we should see. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There on the left, he writes upward, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Remember, it was Jesus Christ that was in Moses. It was Jesus Christ that was in David. When David, the son of David, went up to the mountain, a rejected king, and wept over Jerusalem, that was nothing but Christ in him. And above he writes, Christ, the Holy Spirit in David. For about 800 years later, the son of David set up over the Mount of Olives and looked down upon Jerusalem and wept. Now, our brother William continues to say here, that is why in the message of the seals on page 131, page 134, page 146, page 185, page 186, on page 256, he tells us about the coming of Christ. He tells us about the coming of the Holy Spirit for the end time. Let us read here, because having the baptism of the Holy Spirit is having Christ. And the church, notice, has had Christ in and through each angel messenger. And now page 295, so not to read too much, says, But when our Lord appears here on earth, He'll be riding on a snow-white horse. And He'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. Now notice in the message, the God of this evil age tells us on page 37, which is an excerpt from the Book of Quotations, page 156, paragraph 1396. There he tells us, reading from the booklet, he says, But in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, here, of somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, in some not, believe the word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. And he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. She is watching for it. She is part of that word. And she is watching for her life to manifest that word. Brethren, can you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting for, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit, to confirm or make it alive. And there he writes upward, the bride waiting for the life, the spirit incarnate of the word. That's what she is waiting for. And he drew a Star of David there. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. Yet she feels it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens. Then she wakes up. God said, let there be, and she come forth like the first one come forth. There he is referring to that vision of the bride. The first one came out on the day of Pentecost. Children of disobedience means obedience. Disobedience means rebellion. I looked that up in the dictionary to be sure. Rebellion? Rebelling against what? The revealed word of God. Like Cain revealed. Rebelled against Abel revealed revelation. Vindicated of God that it was righteous. And he writes Cain there. And Cain rebelled against it and slew his brother. The Pharisees, with their own denominational knowledge of what the word of God was, selected hand-picked men, rebelled against the vindicated word of God made manifest for the day, Jesus Christ, and killed him. That's right. That's what the children of disobedient is, a rebellion against the word of God. Now notice, after Brother William read this scripture from the Book of the Seals on page 295, here in the Book of Quotations on page 156, that paragraph, 1396, above there he writes, waiting for the promise of this age to be confirmed. For every age and dispensation, there is three dots. Up here also, at the top, on the right side above, he writes, waiting like Ruth. Now notice, after he reads that scripture of the seals, our Brother William says, and that is what he read there on page 295 on the seals. And that is Revelation 19. Verse 11 to 21, it is Christ coming to his church, to his mystical body of believers, being manifested in and through his angel messenger in the most holy place of his spiritual temple, that is, in the soul of the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the divine judgment of the great tribulation, typified in the judgment brought by God through Moses to and upon the Egyptian people, and especially that night of the death of the firstborns, we find that the only ones who were freed from that judgment were those who had that token applied. And the only mystical body of believers that will be free from the divine judgment that is to come will be the mystical body of believers that will have the token applied in their soul, in the most holy place. In other words, she will have the Holy Spirit incarnate in her midst. That is why every other group of believers is sentenced to death, to destruction, during the judgment of the great tribulation. Any group that doesn't have the Holy Spirit incarnate in their midst. Blessed be the Lord forever, that we have that Holy Spirit incarnate in our midst. Therefore, it gives us the assurance that we will escape the divine judgments of the great tribulation. What an assurance for the church bride. What strength did that give us to continue forward? I am sure, beloved brothers, friends, because I have with me the Holy Spirit incarnate. I have it in the midst, in my midst. He walks with me. He laughs with me. The dynamic and the mechanics are together there. Therefore, that is then the spark. The rest causes right then a short circuit. The fuse blows and they are left in darkness. And then they start to try to get some light with flashlights that hardly light up and whose batteries is already running low, but there is no one to charge it. But we have the giver of that charge. We are walking with a fully charged battery bank, with the one that produces everlasting energy. But we can say it in these terms. We are always walking with the UPS. Always. Now notice. Here it tells us on this message, who is this Melchizedek? On page 19, the Reverend William Branham says, notice, after the battle was over, and he writes there, after the battle of the ages, Melchizedek served his victorious child communion. Think of that. Part of himself. Now, we want to see here, in type here is, in view, the communion. After the battle, he gave of himself, because the communion is part of Christ. And after the struggle, and above, he writes, the ages, after the struggle is over, after you're done, got yourself wiped out, then it's when you partake of Christ. And he writes, the theophany. Become part of this being. And he draws Star of David and he writes, you become the Word. You get it? Jacob wrestled all night and wouldn't turn him loose until he blessed him. Now notice to the left he writes, the incarnation of the Word in the children of Abraham. Jacob wrestled all night and wouldn't turn him loose until he blessed him. That's right. Battle for life. And after the battle is over, and he writes of the seventh seal, because the seventh seal is like a rocket that is launched. The Reverend William Branham says on page 540, of the seals. It's just like firing a rocket into the air. And that rocket explodes here. And it goes up and then explodes again. There he writes Moses. He puts out five stars. One of them stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. See? It fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It ends the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Now there he numbers them. That he writes one. This he writes two. It ends the time. There he writes three. Everything just ended up on the seventh seal. Now, how is God going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even the time for all these things and the ushering in of the millennium. And he writes, introduction. Now notice what he says here. And after the battle is over, and he writes of the seventh seal, then God gives you of himself the theophany. He wrote that above. That is his true communion. And he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and a Star of David inside. The little bread and wafer just represents it. You shouldn't take it, lest you have wrestled it out and become part of God. And he writes, born again. Now remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he spoke and wrote there, when Paul said, do this in remembrance of me until I come. And he writes, until the second coming of the Lord. Remember, at this time, the communion had never been instituted, not until before the death of Jesus Christ, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. And there he writes, the spiritual communion. But Melchizedek, after his child Abraham had won the victory, Melchizedek met him and gave him wine and bread, showing that after this earthly battle is over, we will meet him in the heavens and take the communion again. And there he draws a cornerstone and he writes, Revelation 4, come up hither. It will be the wedding supper. I will not drink no more of the wine or eat the fruit until I eat it and drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. And there he writes, with Moses and Elijah, dispensation of the kingdom. And he writes there to the left, the supper at the end, the supper at the end of the battle, in the dispensation of the kingdom. Notice again, Melchizedek went to meet Abraham before he got back home. What a beautiful type here we have. Melchizedek meeting Abraham before he got back home, after the battle. We meet Jesus in the air before we get home. And he draws a cornerstone and he writes, come up hither. That's right. 2 Thessalonians tells us that, for we meet him in the air. It is a heavenly age. Now notice, he continues to say, I mean the message, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the soul, he says. Now, see what it means for the individual. In other words, for a person to have received the Spirit, and what it means for him to receive it in the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, it is the same order. And notice on this message, the victory of divine love, he tells us there. Now, so we have seen, Dr. William Soto says, that just like in the second dispensation, in the third dispensation, there is then a new birth. That new birth is being born of the water and of the Spirit as it was back then, the same order, the same rule. Now, we must be born again. To be born, first we have to die. We have to die to what? We have to die to the past age. We have to die to the previous age, which was the Laodicean age. We have to die to the Laodicean age. We have to die to the things of Laodicean age. We have to die to the things of the second dispensation, that is of the age of the grace. The things, notice, baptism in water, the Holy Supper, washing of feet, all of that is taken away. We have to die to all of that. We have to die to all of that and be born again to a new dispensation. You know that, notice, the people, when they entered the second dispensation, they also had to die to the first dispensation, to die to all of that, to the old things. And old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. That is how it is when one goes from one dispensation to another. And notice in this message, which is of questions and answers, from August 30th of 1964, the Reverend William Branham says, now, when it comes to creation of things, it's true. Jesus never writes straight out, created anything and brought it into existence. He took a substance first. He took water, made wine. He took bread and made more bread. He took fish and made more fish. But he promised that greater things than this would be done. He has something there. But in the third pool, when Brother Branham is speaking the word, in other words, God would be showing him what the third pool in operation would be, there was nothing there. And he said, speak the word. Put the squirrel wherever you want it. There wasn't something he could multiply the amount of. He created. It was God through that man creating, speaking the word. And the squirrel came into existence. And not just one, two or three. In other words, that shows us that there are no limitations with the spoken word. Because all things are possible to him that believes. See? You see? Now why? It's in a more evil day than it was when he was here. See? It's still him, but using your tabernacle, see? And this person that's in you, which is your birth, you are John Doe. You were born in a certain month, and you were born under a certain star. You were born under a certain thing, and that has something to do with you. Certainly does. There to the left, he draws a cornerstone, the ages and stars. Seven stars. And a star of David next to the cornerstone. And to the right, he writes, you are born under a star. And he writes there, and the new birth is under the star of your age. And the new birth is under the star of your age. And he says, I know I used to, Papa used to say, I can't plant them potatoes at this time because the moon isn't right. You can't plant them potatoes, Billy. And I said, I'm not planting them in the moon. I'm planting them here in the ground. And on the moon he writes, S-U-N, sun. And he surrounds them with splashes of light and he draws Star of David. And he also writes there, the seven ages of the church, the moon. And he draws a candlestick with seven stars. Said, all right, smart Alec, go on. You get a few bumps on your head and you learn something. I did. Brother Branham said that. I tell you, take a board and lay it down out there on the grass in the dark of the moon and watch what happens. That grass will die right now. Lay it on the light of the moon. You can let it lay there a week. It won't hurt it a bit. Now notice, our brother William keeps saying here, in this message I'm reading, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the soul, he says, and a person's soul is represented in the most holy place of the spiritual temple of Christ. The spirit of the person is represented in the holy place of the temple or tabernacle, and the body is represented or represents the outer courts, or courts of the tabernacle or temple. So notice how simple everything is. Everything is simple. Notice on this message, a court trial. Here the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 17 on this message, and the defense witness should know whether they are believers or not, because he is the one that quickens the word. And he writes, Holy Spirit quickens the promise. And on top of witness, he writes, lawyer. He knows whether they believe or not, don't you think? He should know. He knows whether they are believers or not, because he is the only one can put life in the word. Here would be my body standing here without spirit. It'd be dead. But it's only life that can quicken this body to move. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can quicken the word. He is the only one can put it in action. And he ought to know whether they are believers or not. And against their own testimony that they said, others claim to be healed and others claim to see these things. But they didn't. Now see, his witness is already condemned. But now he quickens the word. In order for that word to be quickened, the Holy Spirit must be in her midst, in the midst of the people. And there he writes on the back, the Holy Spirit is needed to bring the word to life. The Holy Spirit is needed to bring the word to life. Now, our brother William keeps saying here, it's the same thing that some people will say, we did this and this and this and that in your name. Groups may also do and say that. Individuals, groups may say that same thing. That is, bodies of believers. In other words, religious groups of believers as a group. In other words, like religious sects or religions, they may say or do the same and say the same. We did this, this, and that in your name. They might say their names as well. The me, me, or I. They turn into me, me, I did. There is a place where our brother William says that they are like JoJos. Do you know what a JoJo is? JoJo is a name in Spanish for a toy, but JoJo can be interpreted as me, me. They might say their name as well. They might say, we, the such and such group, or such such sect, or such such religion, we did such and such a thing in your name. Great miracles and wonders, signs, and our group spoke in tongues, and all those things. Notice, here is where he says about that of the new birth. Look on page 35 of the message questions and answers, but this one is from August 23 of 64. Brother Branham says there, this is question number 61. After the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgins be saved, or will they all be lost? No. See, everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. The Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that is filthy still. He that is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. Revelation 22:11. In other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky. Now when he says there, remember the writing that he left us in a notebook where he says of 1st or 2nd Thessalonians 2:1-10. He writes that scripture and says, when he who lets is taken away, then shall that wicked be revealed. The Holy Spirit will be taken from the earth, from among the Gentiles, that is from the dispensation of grace, and will go up and come incarnate in a man. It comes out of the dispensation of grace, goes up, Book of the Seals, page 168, and at the same time that the devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes incarnate man, and will come incarnate in a man to reveal himself to Israel. Christ in Holy Spirit comes incarnate in a man. And then, here will be a showdown between Christ and in the Antichrist, in the man of sin, the wicked one, the son of perdition, the son of Satan, in whom Satan will become incarnate. And we see how things are in the world. How those two spirits are on earth at this time. The spirit of the Antichrist and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Now he says, in other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky where the attorney stands to plead the case. Christ leaves the sanctuary. His days of mediatorial is over. The rapture comes. He leaves from the sanctuary, goes forth and takes the book of redemption and claims everything he redeemed. There's no more mediatorial work. How many understand that? I've got it on one of the seals. Or one of the seals, I believe it was, that Christ come forth to claim his mediatorial work. Now, just a minute, will the foolish virgins be saved? No. Whatever happens, she happens now. After that time, she is in the state, three dots. Now, she will have to go through the tribulation period. And the reason for it is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. She is a believer, a professed believer, but she will have to go through the tribulation period. And he writes to the left, the foolish. And in this same book, on page 42, notice what he says here. On the 71st question, he says, Will all born again believers go in the rapture? No. Just the remnant. Just the remnant, not all born again believers. The Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. Revelation 25. And then they were raised and separated, the sheep from the goats. Not all born again will go in the three dots according to scripture. And here he writes to the left, for the rapture, not all the born again. Because one must be born in each age and in each dispensation in which the person is living. And in the front he also writes, not all the born again will go in the rapture. One must be born under the dispensation pertaining to this time, which is the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, notice, he goes on to say, but notice, one must have the Holy Spirit in the right place for that dispensation and for that age. Brother William says there, in other words, one must have the Holy Spirit in the corresponding place and stage for the time in which the person is given to live. In the time of the dispensation of grace, they could not have the Holy Spirit in the outer court, in the law. It had to be in the dispensation of grace. And today, the Holy Spirit must be in the dispensation of the kingdom. But notice, one must have the Holy Spirit in the right place for that dispensation and for that age. In the message, Perfect Faith, on page 8, the Reverend William Branham says, Now we see, at first the disciples didn't have the perfect faith. They didn't have it, because they had Christ walking with them. But then afterwards, Christ was in them. And so you see, it's hard then to have this perfect faith without the Holy Spirit. It has to bring it. It does. Now you say, the disciples didn't have perfect faith? No. For they had an epileptic child there that they were trying to cast this devil out of him and they couldn't do it. And the father seen Jesus coming and said, we have brought my son to your disciples and they could not cure him. See? And afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus, why could not we cure him? Now notice here at the bottom he writes, the Holy Spirit incarnate, being inside the body of believers, brings the perfect faith, the rapturing faith. The Holy Spirit incarnate, being inside the body of believers, and we have seen a few minutes ago, that is one that is born again, brings the perfect faith, the rapturing faith. He also writes there, the disciples did not have faith. And he also writes on the right, the Spirit brings the rapturing faith. Now they ask him that question, why could not we cure him? And Jesus said, because of the lack of faith, of your unbelief. That's right, because of your unbelief at. Now remember, they had the power. Jesus had given them the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead and cast out devils. Just a few days before that, they had the power, but not the faith to use that power. Now, there is the Branham Tabernacle. There is the church, the bride today. The Holy Spirit is here with the power, but you haven't got the faith to move it. See what I mean? It takes faith to move it. And there above, he writes, the bride and the Branham Tabernacle did not have faith to move the power. Today, we are receiving that faith to use that power. And there he writes on the left, faith to use the power. Now, our brother William continues to say, during the seven ages of the Gentile church, the church as a mystical body of believers had it in the holy place, which represents the Spirit in the human being. But now, at the end of time, The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ must have it in the most holy place. That is, in the soul of the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have it as the Church had it in the holy place through human flesh, through each angel messenger of the ages. To have it in the angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the message, Desperation, on page 5, the Reverend William Branham tells us here, you say, I want you, Brother Branham, and I give you a gift, see? Well, that's not me. That's my gift. Tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost, a gift of the Holy Ghost. And the devil can impersonate any of those things, but he cannot be the Holy Ghost, see? He can impersonate these gifts, but he can't be the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the token that the blood has been applied, because it follows the blood all the way from the Book of Redemption, see it? That was the purpose of his coming. That's what he followed in every age. There, he writes on the right, the token equals, it is the Spirit incarnate for the Church. In other words, today we can say, today Venezuela has the token, because they have the Holy Spirit incarnate. Therefore, when God looks at these people, may he see them through that token. And may he see them with eyes of mercy, because the token is here. The Holy Spirit is in her midst. And Lord, you have extended your mercy upon these people, because they have the token applied. And not in the holy place, they have it applied in the most holy place, where it has to be at this time, which is the age of the cornerstone, which is the dispensation of the kingdom. Every age, he has followed that to see that it's brought forth, and they could not be made perfect without us. And now the entire Holy Spirit visits the Church, making God in human flesh, as he did before Sodom, the burning there, which was a type. Then Abraham, he appeared to him, and all the things that he had done down through the ages, in the Church ages, he's now doing. Back to the Word, because the messages and the messages and the messages has to wind up in the entire Word. And in the last days, the seven seals being opened was to pick up every straggle that's been left off in it and make the whole thing in one great big body of the Bride. And he writes on the left upward, the Holy Spirit incarnate today, that them who lived back there was not perfect, unto this Church be perfected. This Bride group in the last days, to bring them in. There he also writes, God in the flesh, and all together be taken up. See, the token Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is among us. We should reverence that. We can't humble ourselves enough. Taking off your shoes or getting on your knees wouldn't expel it. It wouldn't satisfy it. Now notice what he demands. He says, We can't humble ourselves enough, taking off our shoes or getting on our knees or bowing. It wouldn't satisfy it. It wouldn't suffice us. But a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. There indeed, we reverence Him. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? See, love, joy, peace. Remember this morning, preparation sent the messenger with the message. Next thing he done, after he sent the messenger with the message, he sent the pillar of fire for a vindication. Next thing was, after that, was a consolation. See, you knew that it was right. You was at peace. Oh, blessed be the Lord. we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now, he says that he sent his message. He sent the pillar of fire as a vindication. Then he sent the consolation. And he tells us about that in Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There is where Jesus stopped. And the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. And there is the consolation. Now notice. Our brother William goes on to say here. See how simple everything is? Everything is so simple that there is no way we can overlook it. We don't have to be afraid of the coming judgments. We don't have to be afraid of death that will come during the Great Tribulation. Because we have the token applied. In the message countdown, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 24, in the natural achievement, they're taken off to the moon. In the spiritual achievement, we're taken off towards heaven. Amen. The natural astronaut is trying to find him a place on the moon. And he writes Laodicea. We don't already got a place in heaven. And he writes in the age of the cornerstone. We don't already got a place in heaven already. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'll go and prepare a place for you and send an astronaut back to get you. Moses and Elijah and Jesus. He has made that promise. He has fulfilled it. Countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. The fire begins. The seven thunders. He wrote that there. The fire begins to spread. The ministry is crowned in glory. Hallelujah. And the old rocket begins to take off, not pointing towards the moon. And he writes, Laodicea, seventh age. That is why those last ones who were in the back, looking back towards where? Laodicea. No, not looking, not pointing back, but pointed towards glory. Yonder she is, the fire of God spreading, the power of the Holy Ghost lifting her up and beyond the moon. And he writes, ages, stars beyond. And he writes, ages, messengers. Anything that could ever be achieved by man. The church will take her flight to the bosom of God in heaven. One of these mornings. And he writes, the sun of the east. And he also writes there, in the morning with the morning sun, of the seventh dispensation and of the seventh millennium. Friends, the men have been able to achieve what they have by their natural things. And God, I proved it here, has typified it by the spiritual. Let's get in the astronaut quickly. The door will be closed after a while. And in the front here he writes, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes, the ministry is crowned in glory at 0 hour. And above ministry, he writes Revelation 11, verse 3 to 7, and 7 verse 2, and 22 6. The fire spreads at 0 hour. He also wrote that there. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, that is why everything that comes from God for his church at this time comes to where? To the soul. To the most holy place of the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why those who are in the holy place or in the outer court cannot see it. Now you understand why some see it and others don't? He says, to the soul, to the most holy place of the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why those who are in the holy place or in the outer court cannot see it. In the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed on page 34, the Reverend William Branham tells us. Paul only knew him by revelation. Peter knew him by revelation. He walked with him, talked with him. Therefore, you can set in this word. Now, I've just said that he was the word. Now, a scholar can sit down and read that word till he can just tie your mind up in any way, see? If he wants to do it, because he's smart, brilliant. Get a Catholic priest, or not so much as that, as a real good trained theologian in the Bible, brother, a Baptist or a Presbyterian or something, he'll make you think that you don't know nothing, see, when he comes to talk. What? See, because that he has known him in the flesh, the Word. But the only way you're saved is by knowing him by revelation. If I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie your Pentecostals till you won't know. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. That's right, but that is not it. That's not his church. That's not his church. His church is himself revealed. Amen. Do you see it? And expressed by the word itself that he is God. See? Now there he writes, know the word by revelation to be saved. Now notice in this message, time to be strong and work, which was preached on January 5th, 2013, in Calle, Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto says, in the heart is where the Lord dwells. But remember, some have the anointing of the Spirit only in the Spirit. In other words, in the holy place, which is the spirit of the person. But they must have it in the most holy place, in the soul, because there is where the new birth takes place. If the Holy Spirit doesn't go into the soul of the person does not obtain the new birth. He is still an intellectual believer. That is why he says that not all the born again will make the rapture, because it was in the Spirit, under the dispensation of grace. A believer who does not have the wedding garment to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, he does not have the oil of the Spirit in the soul, in his heart. In the message, the spoken word is the original seed, and there's a way for the dispensation of grace. Those memorials were carried out, in which the death and burial were shown, water baptism, but under the dispensation of the kingdom is in a different way. Now he says, that proves that God speaks his message through his servants. Always has, that's right. And he draws Star of David to the left. Now the power of the believing church, Christ has all power in heaven and earth. Do you believe that? Now, what if he is in you? Has Christ got all power? And he draws Star of David to the left. Matthew 28:18. All right. He is the seed word in his body. And he, in us, becomes the seed word in us. What? All that God was, he poured it into Christ. And all Christ was poured into the church. That's the power. Now watch. Remember God's law of reproduction. Now remember, after its kind. Is that right? The seed of Christ, the Word, and he writes, the second coming, must come through his body. And he writes, the bride. Are you getting tired? All right, just a minute now. Let's just hold quiet and pray. I want to get this in real good. I want this to greet down. The seed of Christ must, M-U-S-T, must come through his body, not through a denomination, but through a born-again seed of the Word, must come through. And he writes to the left, the coming of the Word through his body. And he draws Star of David. He continues to say, now remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? Through the body. How does the apple tree seed come? through the body. Seed is through the body. And the church is the body of Christ. And there he writes, the second coming of the Lord through one who is born again. What we have been reading and showing, he wrote it there, based on what our brother Branham said back then, the second coming of the Lord through one who is born again. Now he goes on to say here in this message, the origin of the children of God, our brother William says, preached on April 20th, 1975, look, he says, this didn't happen in any of the disciples, in any of the apostles. Only a portion became incarnate in them. But the full word, the theophany, never became incarnate. The theophany was with them, it walked with them here and there, but it was never inside them. Now notice in this message, who is this Melchizedek? The Reverend William Branham tells us on page 20, he says, therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, and he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone, and he writes, air. That is in the air, in the cornerstone. If you are here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. Where do we meet our theophany? In the age of the cornerstone. You take the body to meet theophany, there you are, and cut up and go to meet the Lord in the air. And he writes, the resurrection. And he also writes there, the theophany comes to get the body. Now, our brother William continues to say, and that is the great thing for the children of God of this time. That is the great thing, which is on the move in this moment in which we live. Look in the message, the end time signed seed. He says there, now, page 15. Now, to disbelieve God's word or mix it with something to have more light, you can't mix it. It won't mix. You've got to believe it just the way God wrote it and the way he spoke it. It is not to be added to or taken away from or anything. You believe it that way. Now, and when Job, being a prophet, finally the vision broke through. And then when he seen how that God was going to make a way for a man to live again, because there would be another spoken word that a virgin would receive. That was Eve, first, that doubted. When the word came to Mary, she never doubted it. She said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. See, she never said, now, just wait till I feel life, and then I'll go testify. In other words, until I see and feel that my belly is moving, when I feel that there is life there, then I'll go and testify. You wait till I'm positive of it. That is until the pregnancy is certain. That's the way we Christians, so-called, today do. Wait till I'm positive. Wait till I begin to get better. And wait till I see something happen. And then I'll do it. No, sir. That's not the question. You believe it first. What did Elijah tell the woman that he went to? With nothing but a handful of meal, he said, make me a cake first, then go start 3 dots. The miracles will happen after you take God's word first. The miracles will happen after you take God's word first. You begin to believe God's word, and then the miracle takes place on the word, because the word is the seed that brings forth the miracle. If you don't receive the word, how are you going to receive the miracle if that seed is in the word for that miracle to happen, that healing or whatever you're asking for? you must first receive the word and believe it. Got to take the word first. The Holy Spirit gives it life, like water falling from heaven. We know that the Holy Spirit represents, the water represents the Holy Spirit, like as Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What? A perishing people. And when he lifted up the brass serpent, it saved the life of the perishing people. When he smote that rock, Christ is that rock that was smitten, and out of him came waters of life for a perishing people. You must believe it. Act upon it. Now, Brother William continues to say here, now notice, the Word is currently becoming incarnate in us. It is becoming incarnate. That Word is being wrapped in human flesh. That body of the sixth dimension will be covered by human flesh. That same human flesh you currently have, that will be the human flesh that your theophany will have. In other words, that will be your theophany's veil of human flesh. But where would we be receiving our theophany? At the top, in the age of the cornerstone, in the dispensation of the kingdom. We have seen, on this occasion, on this brief summary of what the Holy Spirit is, going from the outer court into the holy place and to the most holy place. And at this end time, it must be in the most holy place. If it is not in the most holy place, the person cannot see the promises that are there, nor can he come in contact with his theophany. The power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church. Let us stand and so that if our brother Williams Romero is around, if he's around, and he can accompany us with the song on this occasion. I don't know if he's here with us from in this area or maybe on another area. Here he is. And he can accompany us with the song, Fill My Soul with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord, with Your power. Teach me, Lord. Increase my faith, Lord. Faith to use that power. We need it, Lord. Fill my soul with Your Holy Spirit.
Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder. Lléname con tu unción. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Te he recibido como mi
testifico con mi fe en esta confesión. Oh, mi reclamador. Eres mi Señor, eres mi doctor, eres mi José, mi reclamador. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, se manifieste en mí.
Sí, Señor.
Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo.
Llénala, Señor.
Llena mi alma con tu
Santo. Sí, sí. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Abide in your people, Lord. Rest in us. Visit every seat, every brethren, and look at their heart, Lord. Today they open it to you. Today, Lord, they have nothing to hide from you. If there is an accursed thing, may it be taken away. And you may see us pure, cleansed, because we want your fullness, Lord, to dwell in each soul, in each of your Venezuelan elect, and across the face of the earth where your bride is. O Lord, pour out your power and increase our faith to use that power. For we need that faith which you are giving us through these seven thunders. Thank you, Lord, because you hear me. Thank you, Lord, because I am here in this place, vindicating your word, being brought to life, and settling in the heart of your elect. And Lord, may they feel their theophany around them, whispering to them and telling them, it's almost time. Soon I will come inside you and transform you. It is a promise. Therefore we believe it. We can feel our theophany, which many times reprimands us and twists our ears and tells us, get yourself in order or you'll suffer a blow. And we straighten up. He saw the bride walk straight, but one or another fell off the path. But he brought it to their attention. And since she is an obedient bride, then she walks straight. She dusts herself off and continues straight ahead. She doesn't stop. You're a warrior. You're an overcomer. Therefore, do not be discouraged. Continue forward on each step, on each stumble. For God is with you. The theophany guides you, which is the word. The sixth dimension is open up for the elect, and the fifth dimension for the world. We don't want to have anything to do with the fifth dimension, Lord. But rather, we desire for the sixth dimension to rule in our lives as individuals, as a family, as a group of believers, as a congregation, as an age, as a dispensation. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit.
Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder, lléname con tu unción, oh mi reclamador. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Te he recibido como mi reclamador. Testifico con mi fe en esta confesión, oh mi reclamador. Eres mi Señor, eres mi doctor, eres mi José, mi reclamador. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo. Llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí, que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Llena mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo, llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste.
Yes, Lord. Look, our brother Branham told us in the message, the flashing red light of the sign of his coming. He says, then it shall one know just recently in, oh, I'd say in the last about 4 years ago or five, I was speaking one night at the armory, and there was a great crowd of people, and an elderly man of some 80 years old, I guess, and his lovely wife, they were Lutheran by faith, got to that great famous Lutheran church there. I forget the name of it now. It's the largest Lutheran gathering in America, at one single gathering of church membership, and it's a great country for the Lutherans. And while I was speaking, I noticed a fellow, head going back like that, backwards like this, and his hands went out, and he pitched forward, dead in the chair. And his wife began screaming, and she screamed out, somebody help me. Somebody help me. And I looked. I said, just everyone keep seated. Be quiet. See? I waited for the Lord to give me a word. and I, Satan? Three dots. I was just fixing to make the altar call. And that's just when he wants to show himself. So did you ever notice when you start to make an altar call, even little babies will start screaming and things like that? That's Satan. You who are spiritual, understand. So the Lord gave me his name, and I called him, and he came to life just like that. And this morning when I was turning, see, I've seen many times the Lord Jesus bring back the dead. The little baby in Mexico died at 9 o'clock that morning. And this was between 10 and 11 that night, it came back to life. And that's a bona fide testimony with doctor's witness of it, see, that the baby died in his office at 9 o'clock that morning. I think it was pneumonia. And the baby is living today, as far as I know. And that was before, oh my, 30, 40,000 people. And then this morning, I seen our brother Wei, as he's sitting, he was sitting right here now. But as he was sitting right along in here somewhere, he was standing, and we were singing, and glory, glory, hallelujah, and shaking one another's hand. I noticed him as it struck him, and his head went back. He, Brother Wei, isn't given to think like anything like fainting or going like that. And I seen him fall backwards, and I seen his wife, which is a registered nurse, check his pulse, and she screamed, it was gone. And then I believe it was Sister Nash, a lady here, a colored sister that comes to the church. Some of them started running forward, and now she, Mrs. Wei, kept reaching for me to come across the platform. And I said, everybody keep quiet. Keep in your seat. Don't never be excited in them kind of times, see? That's what Satan wants to do. Just wait and see what he says. If it's somebody moving on to glory, well, we got to go sometime. No better place than in church. So then right in the house of the Lord, in each place, we must maintain this same order, this stillness, and wait for him. And may he work when his church is in order. When the church, Brother Branham said, recognizes her position, the rapture will take place. But the stages of the third pool, for a phase to begin, and to get closer to what is promised in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, the people must be in order. May God help all the people of God. Not only here in Venezuela, which we already know that God will do great things in the midst of this people, but rather in every place where the church bride is being prepared and carry out the stages in obedience, the Holy Spirit through her, fulfilling the requirements. Notice, in the message adoption, Brother Branham told us, did you ever sit in one? Oh, I have sat till I would weep for joy and say, God, never let me live here. Just heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessing us with what? Divine healing, foreknowledge, revelation, vision, powers, tongues, interpretations, wisdom, knowledge, all the heavenly blessings, and joy unspeakable and full of glory, every heart filled with the Spirit, walking together, sitting together in heavenly places, not one evil thought among us, not one cigarette smoked, not one short dress, not one this, that, or the other. Not one evil thought. Nobody got anything against one another. Everybody speaking in love and harmony. Everybody with one accord in one place. Then suddenly there come from heaven a sound like a rushing mighty wind. There you are. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Then the Holy Spirit might fall upon somebody and say, thus saith the Lord, go to a certain place and do a certain thing. Watch it happen just like that. Brother Branham snaps his fingers three times. Thus saith the Lord, go to a certain place and do a certain thing. Watch it happen just like that. And Brother Branham snaps twice. Blessed us together in all heavenly blessings in heavenly places. Those are the treasures of the promised land. The Holy Spirit can come down here. And I can say, go to such a place and bring me such a thing. And thus, saith the Lord, it is done. May there be no, in this place nor in any place, be no anger, hatred, bad intentions, nor lack of unity. We are all the mystical body of believers. We are all the same. He wants us to be the same as His firstborn son, beginning with the minister to the smallest family member. We are a body of believers that He is preparing. May love reign in your hearts. And may we be understanding of one another, forgiving, and may we help our brother to get up and keep going on. May we actually encourage him to continue with us until the goal of the transformation. Don't stick your foot out to make someone fall. Instead, help him and tell him, be careful with that, you might fall. And hold him. That is to be a true believer. God help us to completely reflect the life of the firstborn Son of God. Because there is where we are heading, to the stature of that perfect man. And as a mystical body of believers, we help each other. I have seen with my own eyes barriers falling down. Yokes being let go. Being delivered in many ways. Today I am seeing that here in Venezuela. Lord, take away every spirit of error. Remove all unbelief. And allow, Lord, your Holy Spirit to move free among this Venezuelan people. And that may not be because of an elect, that the blessing is not in Venezuela. May there be repentance. And may ask God for mercy. The Holy Spirit is not grieved. And the wrath of God moves away from this country. He knows who His children are. Out of love for His elect, believe it. He is already in action. Do you see that little rock start to move? I feel it. Because that is what I desire for Venezuela. I remember at the table there on July 28th in Villahermosa, I made a request to God there. Today I have seen how that word is being fulfilled. But remember one thing. It starts with you. Don't wait for the other person, the next or the next. Starts with yourself. And then help the other. Fill my soul. Once more. With your Holy Spirit. Oh, what a beautiful atmosphere.
Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame de tu poder. Lléname con tu unción. Mi reclamación, lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. He recibido como mi reclamador. Testifico con.
We testify on this hour. Yes, Lord. In this writing, he said, there, the countries that look, and using Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth. The countries that look and see and receive the second coming of Christ will be saved from the judgments of the great tribulation and will enter into the millennial kingdom. Today, Venezuela has seen me, has received me as the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. Therefore, Venezuela will enter into the glorious millennial kingdom along with its inhabitants, and it will be a great representation of God's power. It will be a living testimony that a people was oppressed and was delivered. Venezuela, we will see each other in the millennium. We will see each other in that glorious kingdom of peace, of happiness, of joy, of prosperity. O Lord, pour out your blessings upon this people. Spiritual healing, physical healing, whoever needs it, Lord. You know each one of those brethren, precious brethren, who love you, who love your work, who have been in this trajectory of the pillar of fire, guiding us. And today they are seeing it incarnate. And they have said, today it is the reality of the one who accompanied us along the way. Today he is speaking directly to our soul. Lord, you know them. They love you. And Lord, they desire of your blessings. Prosper Venezuela spiritually and materially as well. O eternal God, in the eternal name of the Son of David, King of kings and Lord of lords, in your claiming work, William, amen and amen. Calling on the name of the Lord, and I will bless them, says the priestly blessing. May God bless you and keep you. And it has truly been a great blessing for me to be able to see in the spiritual realm the deliverance of Venezuela. And I am seeing, and I will keep seeing, and will continue to see the physical deliverance of each one of you. May God bless you. May God keep you. And someday you will know how much I love Venezuela. I love you with a sincere heart. My heart will always be here. Never doubt it. And as many times the Lord allows me to be here and share the word that he puts in my mouth, I will be here. Be careful with being careless. God help us all to arrive, because the scripture says they overcame him. Therefore, in our journey, with struggles or without struggles, we will make it. The power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church, because he is the one who does the work. The power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church. There is really a beautiful atmosphere. You truly are a special people. No wonder God raised up this man of God from here, who has been of such a blessing for all of Latin America and the entire world. Our beloved brother, Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Which is why we thank God for him, and we thank God for you. The power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church. Let us leave with us immediately our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.